At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi.
Welcome to the On Call Room.
Guess what? We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
We're deep diving episode by episode. We're in season 7. This is episode 5 and episode 6.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
Welcome.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
I always forget. You know what? Just take it. You handled that.
All right. That's fine. Or maybe we should set up a little thing on our notes about what we say.
I should
follow
say that.
A script.
I would like to think that everyone is saying it with us.
I hope they are.
Yeah. So guys, if you have been a listener for a while, thank you.
Yes.
And if you're new to it, just,
welcome.
Yeah, welcome. You can go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. And there's a lot more there for you besides just this podcast. You can get a Facebook, you can join the Facebook group.
You can you're gonna say facelift.
You can get a facelift. You can read our show notes. You can leave us a voicemail. You can call time of death. You can
co-host. You can join the Facebook. Oh, you said that.
You can hang out with us once a month on our Zoom meetings.
And once a year, you get assigned a little thing from us.
Yeah, it's usually around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So it's a really great place to support us and help keep us going weekly. It's truly the only reason we are able to continue to do weekly episodes. So thank you so much to everyone. I feel like I call them on and call them like the Patreon peeps. I don't know.
Ooh, the Grey's Patreon babies.
The Grey's babies.
Yeah.
We just love you so much. Also, make sure you follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. And I mean, more important than anything, the musical episode is coming up. We want you to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big event. We've been waiting. This is honestly why we started the podcast.
Yes.
And we would like you to be a contributor to it. So during up until October 6th, we are going to be collecting your submissions. And by submissions, I mean you email us at theoncallroom@gmail.com. Send us a voice memo of yourself talking about the musical episode. If you liked it, if you hated it, if you had thoughts about it, if you want to sing a song from it, whatever you want to do, we want to include that. So make sure you email us at theoncallroom, or no, sorry, email us.
At.
But not, but it's like confusing.
Oh, just email us.
Email us.
The email address is...
Theoncallroom@gmail.com.
You know what? I'll throw it in the show notes.
Yeah, check it out there. Send us your thoughts on the musical episode. And you can also leave us a review.
I was going to say, another great way to support us is leave a review. We have a new review.
Would Ooh, you like read it.
Hear
I'd love
featured
to hear
review
it.
Tonight. So this says it's a beautiful day to listen to a podcast. This is from What Up With That.
That's such a good username.
Says, love Bree and Abby. They start out catching up on the past week, which really makes the podcast feel like hanging out with old friends. Their discussion on each episode is very in-depth, and both Bree and Abby's perspectives are so interesting to listen to. Also, both hosts are hilarious and mesh so well together. You end up laughing with them, which is fun depending on where you are. The co-hosts have also been a great addition to the show. I've started rewatching Grey's again just to be on the same pace as the podcast. I love it. Keep it up.
I love that review.
Yeah, it's so great.
Also, your cat is currently sitting on a jar of photos.
Yeah, I don't really understand why.
Marge, look over here. Oh, God. Okay, got it.
What a sweet girl.
So
thank you so much for that review.
Thank you, What Up With That.
Yeah, and great name. Keep it going.
Bree, if you could have a Grays-related AOL screen name, what would it be?
Question.
I think mine would be Twisty. Or Twisted Sisters.
Twisted Sister. Or like Twisted Sister number one.
One and Twisted Sister two.
Yeah. That's a good one. Or
Sunshiny Uterus.
Yeah. Or McDreamy.
Oh, McDreamy, McSteamy.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't be either of those.
What did they call Addison when she first got there?
She Devil?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'll be.
Satan Spawn? I'd be Satan Spawn.
Karev? Yeah, that's so good. I love it. What was your screen name?
It was Frizzo 876. We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah, Frizzo.
It also was something else at one point. Like
as in Rizzo?
No, Frizzo was like a character that I created in like Dollhouse.
Oh, I thought it was like a take on Rizzo from Grease, but with frizzy hair.
No. It was a character I created. And her name was Frizzo.
Also, like, you have your own character. BJ Babs is like a character you've created that's your real life.
Yeah, that it's somehow manifested into my real life. So, Abby, I have a question for you.
What's your question?
Have you ever dry brushed?
Like your body?
Yeah.
So like 3 years ago, my friend Katie, who has a podcast, who is a supporter of ours, Let It Out, she talked about that. And I've never done it, but I know that it was like in the wellness world, it like took off like three years ago.
I did it last night because my sister gave me
her dry brush.
Yeah. I didn't like buy one. She was like, you're going to love it. And it's so nice. It's
you do your whole body?
Yeah, it feels like so self-care. Like before I took a shower, I like dry brush my whole body. And so it like helps with your lymph and like your like lymphatic drainage. And then it also like, you know, helps with dry skin and stuff. Yeah. You do it like maybe once a week, twice a week.
How soft is the brush?
Oh, I'll show you. It's not soft at all.
Okay, so
it's
like bristles.
It's like a good hurt. Okay. It's like doesn't hurt really bad, but it feels like taking like one of those bristly brushes for your hair and like using it on your body. And you go in a certain motion like to send it to like your lymph fat to drain, you know? And so you do your legs up to your groin and you do your arms up to your armpits.
Okay.
And then you do your stomach in like a clockwise motion, like following your intestines. Boobs? I did lightly and then you do your back. Ooh. You could do your face but I would recommend, I didn't do it because it could really irritate your face. If you want to do that, there's like a lymphatic drainage massage you can do with your hands on your face.
I have a lot of mosquito bites on my ankles. I feel like it would feel real good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I had one on my leg and it was like, ooh, is really, but so then I showered, felt great, got out and then put coconut oil all over my body. And I felt so soft and lovely and like got into bed and like just laid in my nightgown and was like, I am a queen.
That is such a good feeling.
Yeah.
Like, so I would recommend it. Like, and
yeah,
I have a weird obsession with, I love when my hair is wet, which is unfortunate that I've cut it now because it dries
really fast.
Really fast. But to me, there is no better feeling than fresh out of the shower, put your pajamas on. I like to like kind of brush my wet hair back.
Yep.
You know, like I don't wear it that way, but
yeah.
And just having it wet and cold.
Yes.
Ooh, it's my favorite.
And then like putting like a nice face oil on.
Yeah.
And like a nice eye cream.
Yep.
And then like turning on Grey's Anatomy in bed and just like.
That's such a good feeling. Marge, stop licking yourself in front of me. Well, it's just like, I can't look at you because she's just like licking her face.
Marge, I think it's time for you to get
just
down.
Just move
when
the
we
bowl.
Take when we take a break, we'll get her down.
There was another self-care thing that made me think about that as we were talking, but then I looked at Marge.
And then you couldn't remember.
But that is such a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Yeah, just like something that you can do. And it was like, you know, I wouldn't do it in the morning, like before I had to go to work or something.
Right.
But it was like, maybe like you take a bath or something.
Yeah.
I just really like those like little moments that you like.
I still
want
to do that right now.
Yeah, do it. Go in the bathroom and dry brush yourself. I'm like happy for you. Just don't look in the mirror while you do. I was just standing there naked.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I know what I was going to say. I tend to like just, I'm trying really hard on body love and acceptance.
Yes.
But that for me is not looking in the mirror before I get in the shower.
Yeah.
Just, especially at night. Morning, maybe.
Put a curtain up over the mirror.
What I was going to say is I have like this, I'm not trying to get pregnant, but I've been tracking my period.
Yeah.
Goodbye to all the male listeners that we have. But I have this app that like tells you different things about the time of the month that you're in. And it was asking me all these questions about like, so apparently I was ovulating. It was like that time. And it was like saying that you feel a lot like prettier and like you have like a lot more confidence and feel because you're.
You want to get pregnant.
Well, yeah. Isn't that so crazy?
Yeah.
Because it was weird because I woke up and was having a like overly confident morning. Like I did my hair and I just was like, felt good in my clothes and just like had a great morning. And I was proud of myself for it. And then I laughed because I looked at my app and it was like, I was like, oh, I was like, I mean, like, yes, I've done the personal work and got here, but it's also my hormones.
No, dude, hormones dictate everything.
Yeah.
They dictate your life.
I felt so at home in my body and great and like.
Yeah, it's because those hormones were kicking in and you were like, I'm looking for the dude to plant the seed.
And I was like,
it's so evolutionary how
Yeah.
how deep it, like, it's so subconscious. We don't even realize it.
It had a little comic that was explaining what happens to the egg during this time, which was funny. Also sad that I didn't like know exactly. Yeah. And I'm 30, but I was watching, and the comic is like this little egg all dressed up sitting on a chair and looking at her watch and being like, I'll wait 5 more minutes. Because they have like, it's like a 24-hour period and then it goes. And then it was like, gotta go. Yeah. And I was just laughing. I was like, that is my egg right now, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Living its best life.
Yeah, and then it's gotta go.
And then it's gonna get stood up.
Yeah. Ultimately.
Yeah, but it was, I was kind of sad though that my confidence I had wasn't because I've done a lot of personal work.
Isn't it crazy?
It was my, yeah.
It was because you were ovulating.
Yeah. It was just like.
So take that ovulation energy and implement it into the rest of
your cycle.
Live
every day like you're ovulating.
I love that. Oh my God. That is the title of this episode.
That'd be a really good t-shirt.
Live every day like you're ovulating.
That'd be a really good t-shirt.
Except for when I ovulate, sometimes it hurts. So
well, yeah, this
I don't
like,
know if I really want to live every day like I'm ovulating.
Yeah. I don't know. This was just a good morning. And
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. I also think I'm still happy with my haircut. That was a big part of it.
Yeah. It looks great.
Thanks. I mean, it's not just up. I haven't had a bad hair day yet. Like, I haven't had a day where I'm like, fuck this. You know, like, I've just.
That's really encouraging. So I think you made the right choice.
I think I found the right length.
Yes. So you're going to keep it at
that? Too long was too in between. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I schedule a haircut every 6 weeks now, like a boy.
Oh.
Because they get trims.
Yeah.
Jake gets one every 3 because he's a psychopath.
I get.
And likes to pay a shitload of money.
Well, I still get my hair. Well, I get mine colored, I guess. So I get mine like every 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. So when mine was long, I would go 4 months.
Oh, no.
Because it just like, I didn't get it colored and I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is great.
Maybe I do more than 6 weeks. Maybe 8. I think I do 8 weeks.
But I was like, oh, I would love to schedule my next appointment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Watch though, it like never grows and it just keeps
getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah, it's a fear of mine. Berries and cream. A friend of mine we were talking about bangs because I have sort of
bangs.
Like bangs, pseudo bangs right now.
Yeah.
And I sort of want them to be a little bit more like curtain bangs, like those little like Bardot, you know? And anyways, she was telling me about them and she's like, if I go too far, I look like this. And she attached an image of Johnny Depp and Willy Wonka.
Which is terrifying.
Yes.
You don't want to look like that.
No, so I have to be careful not to curl it too under.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Just don't get a pixie cut because it's really hard to grow out.
Yeah, you've done it. You've been through
it. Yeah, I had a mullet for a really long time.
Does the back just grows faster? I guess the top has further to grow.
Yeah. I don't know because it was all layered too.
Yeah.
And so then I had to kind of layer the front to like have a bang type thing. And just flip out that back like a motherfucker.
Did you like when you decided it was time to grow it, were you like, all right, here we go? Like, I'm going to have to go.
I don't know. I think I just like started growing it.
Or did you keep
I think maybe in the moment I thought I looked good. I think that might be the worst part of it. It's like, I was like, whoa, this is a cool haircut.
Do you think that you, like you never got the pixie and maintained it. You got it and then it.
No. I maintained it for a while. My roommate would cut my hair for me.
Okay.
I got like the pixie and then I got it shorter and shorter and then I got like a, cause I had like a pixie with like a pretty big full bang and stuff.
But then it was
and
like,
then I got like a boy cut.
Yeah.
And,
what did that feel like?
It felt fucking amazing.
Was it free?
And I would put like goop in it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know. I would actually like to do it again someday.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was very scary.
Yeah.
But like. But then it was just like, this is just my hair. Like,
yeah, isn't it weird? Once you get rid of it, you have that feeling.
Yeah.
I truly believe hair holds energy. That's what I've learned from this haircut.
Oh, yeah.
So not only are you having to let go of the physical hair, but it's like the feeling, you get attached to it in a weird mental way.
Yes.
And totally. Not that that's bad. Like, I loved long hair, love having long hair. But like, it's just weird that once it's gone, you don't know what you were holding. Like, you're like, why was that so hard?
Yeah. And I've cut my hair so many times.
You've had a lot of different cuts.
Yeah. So like, I'm not really afraid of it. I'm just really liking the long thing right now. But yeah, I think I'll definitely have short hair again someday because it's just so much goddamn fun. There's only so much you can do with long hair.
Yeah.
I feel like that sounds silly because I feel like there's more that you can do with long hair, but you just either end up like
putting it up.
And I don't really do my hair. I'll blow dry it kind of in the morning and let it just like dry.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I never like curl my hair. I just realized I don't really get ready anymore. It's just like, I'm like, this is me.
What this podcast is now, it's like, actually, I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, well, I don't. It was actually sad. I don't when I take photos. Like, on wedding days, I wear, like, a uniform of my own, which is boring. And I'm, like, bored of it. But when I take photos on weeknights, like, tomorrow I have a senior session. I'm going to be crawling in the sand and whatever. Yeah. So, like, my hair is up and I'm wearing the most comfortable thing. The other day, I so badly had this skirt that I wanted to wear and had no reason to. So, I got dressed. And I think I went to the dentist.
In a skirt?
Yeah, it was like, I was just wanted to wear it and I was going somewhere.
To David?
Yeah.
David the dentist.
And then I went home and I had nothing else. Actually, I was coming here to record. I was like, I'm not going to wear this skirt to breeze. Like, it's not. Yeah. And I was just so sad. I was like, I want a reason to get ready because you do feel good.
Yeah. Well, I like wanted to like get ready this weekend or this past weekend when I like went out and stuff. But I ended up wearing like those like biker legging shorts and a fucking button-up blue denim shirt that used to be my father's, like, 20 years
ago. This is a good look. I wish I'd witnessed
it. I mean, it was fun, but, like, I was like, I'm going to be cute. And then I wore my dad's 20-year-old shirt out. Like,
I bet you were very cute.
And then hoop earrings.
Well, hoop earrings make everything better.
Yeah. But it's just funny because, and then, like, I went out with some girlfriends and they had on, like chunk heels, but cute chunk heels and these, like, high-waisted. They just looked so cute. And I had on, like, these really, like muley sandal things.
The Target flats.
Yeah. And just
God,
like,
mine are about to fall apart. Yeah, I am so sad.
Just like, hey guys, I'm here. 5 inches shorter than everyone.
Those biker shorts are back in style.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was fine.
They're everywhere, I'm telling you. Like, every Instagram model everywhere is wearing them.
Yeah. I don't look like an Instagram model in them.
Doesn't matter. You look like
me in them.
You look like a dream.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm just realizing, like, it's just, like, I wear, like, not great clothes to work because I don't really care. And then I come home and I just put on some form of a... I either put on the baggiest t-shirt with no pants and, like...
Oh, I have something to say.
That's it.
Yeah.
Or I put on, like, sweat shorts. And then when winter comes around, it's big sweatshirts and, like...
Snoop Dogg sweatshirts.
Snoop Dogg sweatshirts and
leggings.
Like, and sometimes not even leggings, like those really big baggy sweatpants. Like, when I have all these clothes in my closet, I'm like, I'm never gonna wear these. Like, there's no time for it.
I know, there really isn't. I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, I have this weekend traveling for work. I forgot pajamas. Like, cause I, the ones I want.
But you're like, all of my clothes are pajamas.
No, actually, this was the time it wasn't. So, yeah, so I remember putting, I had a note. Because I'm a one, Enneagram one. I have this list before I left. And one of it was go downstairs and get your clothes. My favorite pajamas were like red, hanging up to dry. And so I forgot. And the first night I was like, okay, well, I'm alone in this place. So I wore my underwear, which I wear a thong. Which is like fine, but like not if you're sleeping where someone might walk in on you.
Yeah.
Because just like your ass. Because it could just be out. So it was that. And then I have this shirt that I'm wearing right now that I didn't want to waste to bed. Because I knew I wanted to wear it one day. And it gets stretched out. So I borrowed a friend's t-shirt, which she didn't know. And then the second night at the hotel, I actually just wore underwear. Because I was like, no one's going to walk in on me in this hotel room. So I was like, risky.
Yeah.
Then the third night, I was staying at a place with people that I had just met. I was like, okay. So I had to wear, I was just so annoyed. I know what I wore. My swimsuit bottoms.
Oh, God.
They're like those high-waisted.
I know, but that still sounds terrible.
But they're like that soft. They're this weird pair I have. But I wore that and then this shirt because it was finally time. But like because I didn't. If I had to walk to the hall, I just imagined there being a fire.
Yeah, and you
I couldn't be in just a thong. And even if my leggings were at my bedside,
you wouldn't grab them.
To put them on, it would be too hard.
I've never thought about what I wear to bed and there might be a fire. That seems terrifying to think about.
My whole thing is, what if I couldn't find my glasses? I'd be blind.
My glasses? She needs her glasses.
Yeah. So anyways, the moral of the story is because my only other options were I brought all like bodysuit leotards. And I was like, I'm not going to sleep in a leotard. Or it was a flannel button down. It was too hot.
Too hot, yeah.
And I hate Winnie the Poohing it, where like a short shirt with no pants.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to wear just... if I'm just going to wear underwear and a shirt, the shirt needs to like be kind of long.
Yeah. Oh,
or
yeah.
Or the underwear need to be full.
Oh, for sure. Like,
so
I'm not
a thong and a short.
Like, dude, I'm not like, when I'm talking about wearing a t-shirt like around the house, like it goes to my like knees.
Yes,
like I'm not wearing.
Yeah. So it was just a conundrum. I'm very happy tonight to have all of my pajamas in store for me.
Yeah. I'm really shocked that you forgot your pajamas, because that does not sound like you forgetting.
I know, I'm sad.
Something
it's because
like
I wanted
that.
To bring the Backstreet Boys shirt because it's the perfect pajama shirt. And I didn't want to dry it because it
will shrink.
Right. So yeah. I hung it to dry and that was my downfall.
Shouldn't have done that,
it's the
man.
Only thing I forgot.
Yeah. I get that.
In the winter. And then I was like, why don't I just sleep naked? People do this all the time. But I was just nervous.
So many people sleep naked.
Yeah. I'm just nervous.
Like after, this is kind of an intimate question. Like after you have sex,
yeah.
Do you put clothes back on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners, for the Facebook
I really want to know. Like some people, I mean, I can go either way. Like sometimes I do, sometimes
yeah.
I don't. But
I usually do.
I think it's funny.
Not the same pair usually. I
yeah,
grab a
no.
Fresh tea.
No, no, no. Never the same.
What if I was like, I put on my bathing suit?
I Winnie the Pooh it. I'm feeling good. So one time I Winnie the Pooh it.
Just a short crop top.
After I have sex.
And no underwear. No.
No. No, that's not what I do.
I think, yeah, I just don't know why in the winter I'm too cold.
Because those clothes are filled with shame.
And in the summer, actually part of it is our bedroom is up against the sidewalk and we leave our window open. Which you can see in. Like
yeah.
And so I just feel nervous about, like, what if there was a peeping Tom?
Yeah.
And I'm just laying there naked like a corpse. Like, I'd almost rather see them have me have sex than see me just sleeping naked. So somehow that seems more vulnerable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can't even.
Like, because it's just lounging naked.
You're just so relaxed. I probably have that face that I make when I play video games that Jake... filmed me doing.
Do you ever just walk around the house naked?
Too many
I
windows.
Live in a fishbowl, so if I did that, like everyone
there's
in
too
the
many
city.
Windows. I will go from the guest bedroom is my room I'm most naked in.
Yeah,
because there's but the other rooms have too many windows.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm afraid someone's gonna be delivering mail when I go to the main part.
Yeah,
think about how many times your pet has seen you naked.
That is really true. March just like watches me poop and stuff, you know, yes. Just like in the bathroom. You're like, hi, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, McCoy probably sees me naked more than Jake.
And they just don't care.
No, I wonder if they wonder like, oh, there you are. Like
underneath all that extra baggage.
Yeah.
Be like us.
Yeah.
Be like animals.
I will say my last little thing today is about McCoy. I hadn't seen him since Friday, but we'd spent 2 days alone together. And then he stayed at my dad's house all weekend in what I call dog rehab because all he does was eat steak and like lay around.
Oh, that's
They had a bonfire one night.
Oh, very nice.
But I got home today and he was so excited to see me.
Aww.
It was like a soldier reunion.
Oh.
I was the soldier.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not McCoy.
No. It was, yeah, me
that's
just
really
running.
That's
really
sweet.
Yeah, it was really cute. And then, like, with a dog, you can kind of keep it going.
Yeah.
Like, if they're excited, you can be like, oh, and you can just, like, make, and we were excited for, like, 5 minutes.
Let me tell you something. You can't do that with a cat.
Yeah, what does March do if you've been gone?
She does meow at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll come. Well, if I've been gone too long, she will refuse to talk to me. I mean, not talk to me.
Marge talks to you?
She'll refuse to like come out to see me for a little while. Like she plays hard to get because she's pissed that I've been gone. But then she, like when I come home every day from work, she's standing at the stairs, like waiting for me.
Ugh,
and meows at me. I think it's because she knows she's going to be fed.
Fed.
Yeah. But I like to think it's because she wants to see me.
Yeah, I think so too. So what a gem.
Yeah. Anyway.
Should we take a break and get into the episodes?
That sounds great.
Okay, bye. Okie dokie, let's get into it.
So we're going to do this a little bit differently. These two episodes, Almost Grown, and then These Arms of Mine. These Arms of Mine is a very particular episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this episode by episode instead of just grand themes of things.
Yeah, so we should even wait to do the monologue probably for the second one.
Well, turns out the second one has no monologue.
Wow.
Yeah, do you want to read the first one?
Sure. All right, this is for Almost Grown, and it's by Meredith Gray. They train doctors slowly. They watch us practice on frogs and pigs and dead people and then live people. They drill us relentlessly. They raise us like children, and eventually they take a cold, hard boot and kick us out of the nest. We all want to grow up. We're desperate to get there. Grab all the opportunities we can to live. We're so busy trying to get out of that nest, we don't think about the fact that it's going to be cold out there, really freaking cold. Because growing up sometimes means leaving people behind. And by the time we stand on our own 2 feet, we're standing there alone. That's a really sad monologue.
Yeah, that was MG.
So, well, some of the shotgun workup is probably for the...
That's okay. I think we'll just go through the whole thing and then we'll refer back to it.
Perfect. I'll read it. So we've got Seth Gruberman with gynecomastia. Roy Henley, end-stage pulmonary hypertension, fungal pneumonia. Megan Whalen, tibial plateau. Oh my God. Tibial plateau fracture, subdural hematoma. Sam Waldman, head trauma. Zachary, amputated arms. Lily Price, tracheal tumor. And Mary Portman, colostomy.
And we're going to go on rounds. We have everyone's competing for Chief's $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Residents become attendings and how they all are dealing with different solo surgeries. And then we have...
just number six, I think, is the only other one.
For this episode. Meredith deciding to get... Well, no, that happened last episode. Tested for Alzheimer's.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I must have wrote that in the wrong document. Deleted. So we're just going to talk about what happened in episode 5.
Yeah. So first note, I said residents get to be attendings for the day. Very exciting.
Yeah. I wrote, Chief is a weird speech giver, inspirational, but also threatening.
I would agree.
Like, he's like, this is a great day. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. And I also thought it was funny. This is when I realized that Lexi is not, she's not the same year as them when they're like, he's like, what about me? And she's like, it's just a regular day for you.
Yeah. Yep. She's a third year. The rest of them are a 4 year. What I noticed immediately is Christina's very nervous to put those blue scrubs on.
She just
on.
Holds them.
Yeah. And Meredith is like, don't worry. We're just playing dress up. Like,
right.
The attendings aren't going anywhere. You're going to be fine.
Right.
And I just realized, like, Christina's very nervous. The actual attendings are very nervous. Like, everyone's nervous about this day.
Yeah. I did love, there's a scene when it's Jackson and April are, like, getting their charts.
Like,
and
high-fiving.
They're, like, holding up their new outfits. And behind them is, like, Callie, Mark, and Bailey, I think. And they're all...
I think Chief's
Arizona,
there, too.
Arizona.
Yeah.
The other one. And they're all just, like, watching this. And they're just... It just looks so funny. Yeah, well, I guess, are we going to talk about them becoming attendings before we talk about the department money, Chief's money?
Yes.
Okay. So they each kind of get a chance to, like, shine.
Yes.
Or
they're
not.
Each, like, yeah, like, assigned to a different case, a different... they're assigned to a case, and they get to run the case. And the attendings are still there, but the residents are running the case.
Yep. And so should we start with Karev?
Sure. So Karev is dealing with a 13-year-old child who has man boobs.
Yeah, like literal man boobs. And there's a line in there where Arizona is talking about how 80% of peds is advocating or is dealing with the parents.
Yes.
Which I thought was an interesting, I mean, I don't know where she got that fraction or percentage, but like, but I think that's really interesting. And I also thought it was weird. Okay, so basically the mom, as Karev is like marking out where they're going to do the surgery, panics, doesn't want the boy to have it anymore.
Yeah.
And whatever. And then Arizona and Mark are like signing off on the charts to send them home before Alex stands up. And I just don't understand how, like, yes, it's Alex's, like, that's his patient for the day. But if they felt differently, why they didn't stand up to the mom? Like, they were going to let that boy be an outcome because of Karev.
Right.
I get that it was a teaching moment, sort of.
Yes.
But what if he hadn't stood up? Like, it was just weird.
Right. I totally agree. And maybe, and then they look like super proud of him. And like Mark's like, you ruined, I've been working on this forever. And Krev's just going to throw it all away. I have something to say about that surgery.
Yeah, let me know.
Let me just find my note on it. Oh, well, I wrote that cutting around that nipple looked really painful, first of all. And also, I was like, how does Kriv know how to do this procedure?
Like,
like, I know that sounds silly, but I'm like, I feel like he has never done anything like this. Like, it would be different if he was doing, I don't know, a different procedure that we've seen Kriv do.
Right.
You know, like, we've seen, like, Meredith does something with a brain bleed. Like, Christina's dealing with a heart. Like, I just feel like this is such a specific...
I mean, he would have had to do a round of of plastics.
I guess. I don't know. It just seemed funny to me. I'm like, wait, this procedure seems very random and specialized. Right. And like, Krev just knows how to do it. Also, it's kind of crazy because I wrote it. It's kind of crazy because that looked like a boob, but it's a male, so they can show it. Like when he was holding it,
yes,
it looked like a breast.
That's such an interesting point. And yeah. On TV.
And it was on TV. Like it looked exactly like a breast, but they could show it because it's a male.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That and it's that whole thing on Instagram that people do where like free the nipple or whatever. Right. And
that's really wild. I didn't even think about that. Because, yeah, I mean, that boy comes out and it is straight up looks like breasts.
Yeah, and even more so in the surgery portion of it, the way he's holding it. And you don't see his face or anything. It looks like some type of either, like, breast augmentation that he's doing. Well, because he is.
Right? How weird is that?
Right?
That got slipped through the, past the ratings. I bet there was a discussion about it when it, like...
Yeah.
But still... And I wonder, too, just because they're prosthetic, probably, I'm assuming that boy did not actually have those, like how that is allowed, but a real one isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that it followed the episode after Krev tells Arizona that all men look at boobs, or like all straight men look at boobs, and she has nice boobs, and then here he is cutting off boobs.
Yeah.
Just continues his, you know, boob theme.
I also like that what he said to like the patient about like, there's no need for, like, there to be, like, shit talk to him in high school and have him kind of be, like, bullied.
Yeah.
Like, this is a procedure I'm capable of doing.
Yeah.
And, like, and I don't know. Like, I don't think it's necessarily wrong for that kid to want that procedure.
I get that the mom had just fear of surgery in general.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought it was cute at the end when he's just like, I don't have boobs. Like, you get it? Which
he's like, you're the man.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're the man.
Yeah. I thought it was cute. And they like fist pump. It's again, like, and we get this in the next episode we'll discuss, but like Krev has a soft spot for young people. Like I feel like he would never fist bump another patient normally. Like it's just not in his heart. But yeah, I don't know.
He's good with kids.
Yeah. And he gets why being a boy who does not want breasts, how that would cause so many issues. And I love that the kid was like, I'm going to high school. I don't know anyone. Like it's my one chance to have like a clean slate.
Yes.
It was sad when he was like, they call me booby.
I know. Dude, kids are fucking mean.
Kids are terrifying.
Kids are so mean. I'm so afraid to have kids. And My hope is that you raise them not to be a bully.
Right.
But I still feel like you can raise a good kid and they're pressured in school to bully. So like, I would just hate to have my kid come home and find out that they're treating someone else like shit. And like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Fuck you, child. You don't do that. Like,
also, I have a question about...
Or I have a child who has man boobs and we have to like
have
work
surgery.
Through that, you know?
I feel like I would not have been like that mom, but I also have, who knows?
Yeah.
She's just nervous, I'd like to
She's
think.
She's very nervous.
But that dad had it too.
I know.
Ugh.
It's a lot.
It's hard enough being a woman with boobs.
Because too, like, you know, if men are like heavier, they can have like, quote, man boobs, but they don't look like.
Like real breasts. Like this, I just truly, it's hard enough being a woman and having them. They're obnoxious sometimes.
Yes.
To be of the gender that doesn't typically have them would also be even harder. And to be in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, in a normal body, being in middle school.
It's the worst.
Yeah. So I just appreciated that. I have a note. Christina is in a dark place. I wonder what happened. Oh, well, she's working with the guy... who needs a lung transplant, Roy. And it was really confusing because Roy is like just being kind of an asshole to Christina, doing that whole man thing. I actually feel like this episode, he's like telling her to smile, calls her sourpuss, whatever. And part of me was so upset. I'm like, just because she's a woman doesn't mean she has to smile.
Yes.
But I don't think that this episode was trying... Like, that's not the topic it was going towards. It's too, like, early in the years, I feel like.
No, I think what... I think they were just focusing on, like, Christina's not doing well.
Right.
And he... And we're just showcasing that, like, she's not... in it. Like, because I feel like, too, if Christina wasn't a good... place, she still probably wouldn't be smiling. And if a patient were to say that, she'd push back.
Yes.
And have shit to say about it.
Right. But she just like takes it.
Yeah.
Well, she says, I don't have a sourpuss. This is just my face. But I just got grossed out by the guy telling her to be happy. Because it felt very like patriarchal-ish.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, that was the purpose of, you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
But my brain kept going there. I was like, don't tell her to smile.
Yeah.
He also mentions dads a lot. I have a note that I wrote. I don't like old men who have no one with them. It makes me really sad. Like, and things make me think of like my dad. Like how sad I'd be if he like didn't have anyone.
Yes. Totally agree.
I like, hated Roy, but then I felt really bad for Roy.
I know. I think that part where he like is like, this is going to go my way, right? And like he wants to fight and he wants the lungs or whatever. Interesting in the... Like, pretty early on in the episode, Teddy says to Christina, either you get in the game or it's time to send you home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was waiting for this moment because I feel like everyone's been tiptoeing around Christina and I feel like enough time has passed where, like, Teddy is saying, like, I'm not asking you to do surgery. I'm not asking you to get in the OR. I'm asking you to participate and answer questions.
Right.
So either you do that or there's no space for you. You got to show that you're making an effort. Once again, I think Teddy's a really good teacher and a really, really good for Christina because she needs someone to push her in that way.
Right. And I feel like Teddy might be the only one where that ultimatum means something to her.
Yes.
It's weird, though, because it still doesn't... And then early on or later, we hear... I think it's Teddy talking about her, and it's like, I don't know what she's... What does she say? She's like, not a waste of space. She says
she's pretty much been, like, a waste all day, you
right.
know?
And like, Christina's standing right there and hears it.
Yeah, like, she's been of, like, no help or whatever.
Right, right. I feel like Roy is a good example of like, a good mirror image for Christina. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, so there's the panel to see if he'll get it. And April, poor April.
Dude, April struggled.
Yeah, I mean, Christina did tell her to do that. But
I know, but she bombed the panel.
Yeah, so bad. But I thought it was really interesting that her argument for Roy is that someone needs to have the will to fight. That is more important than any other thing. Like, people who get transplants, if they want to live...
That was Christina's argument.
Yeah, sorry, did I say April? Christina. And I think it's a really good mirror of like almost like Christina subconsciously telling Teddy, like, I do have the will. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, I might.
That's a great connection.
Like, I might not be showing my, it's like my panels are bad, all my things are bad, but yes. I do have, like, I do want this.
Yes.
Even though I don't appear to.
Yes. And I thought it was really funny too how, like, well, like, Chief walks into the panel and, like, April obviously starts to get a little more tense that he's in there. And she's like, so after reviewing all of this, we don't think he's a good candidate. And Chief is like, then why did you convene this panel? Like, if you don't think he's a good candidate. And then I think April had some good points. Like, we found out, like, we thought he had a daughter. They're estranged. Like, he doesn't have a support system. Like, it's just not good. And I loved... Teddy's thing too, was it Christina who was like, I know I went against what you thought was what was right. And Teddy was like, there wasn't a right answer. Like, this was one of those cases. You just needed to make a choice.
Yes.
And you made a choice.
She says you were a doctor today.
Yes.
Which is the first time I think that someone has said that to Christina since the shooting.
Yeah.
Like, even though it probably to Christina doesn't feel like what she did was that big, it was. And then I love when she goes into Roy's room. She's like, give me your arm, Roy. Like, we got to take your blood.
Yeah.
And, like, still doesn't really smile at him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was cute.
But he could tell, like, he was going to get the lungs or at least be put on the list or whatever. So that was great. April fucked up. She freaked out because cardio is not her thing. It was kind of sad for her because she's like, Christina's like, do this. And then like completely like steamrolls over in front of a bunch of doctors.
But there was that sweet moment at the end where April's like, I just don't know what I'm doing in there. And Christina was, or she said, I'm not used to failure. And Christina says, neither am I.
Oh yeah.
That was like a good, like, I'm sorry. Like they're both failing and they both don't normally fail.
Yes.
Also, I thought there was a cute moment. This is just to do with Christina.
Uh-huh.
So Owen is still, I feel like, being a good partner and, like, figuring this out. He does this, like, it's one of the few couple moments where I was like, oh, he, like, comes up behind her and she's very, like, sad and, like, not emotion. And
only he makes
he's
her
like,
laugh.
I think we need to go out in the alley and you can just beat the crap out of me. Like, which yeah. I don't, and then she like cracks a smile and he's like, there you are. I knew you were there. And I feel like sometimes, even when we're like really sad and you don't want to laugh and you don't want to be cheered up, but like sometimes it's necessary to like laugh and remember that like,
you're okay.
You're okay. Yeah. And I felt like that was a good way of him doing that.
And I think oftentimes the only way that we can get there is by the people closest to us who know us super well. And so that's like a good example of like, Owen knows Christina.
Right.
And sorry, that was the wine. Yeah, I thought that was really sweet.
That's so sweet, sweet wine pouring.
Meredith and Avery are on a case together
with Derek.
And there ends up needing to be this surgery. And so Derek has them
hard.
Yeah, like in the lab, the practice lab, working with like a brain drill thing. Yeah. Not a brain drill, like a whatever those things are called. On eggshells. And you can't puncture the membrane.
But you have to break through the shell.
Right. And you have to like write your initials. And Avery dupes Meredith.
It's so funny too how he does it. He just keeps like swearing and throwing eggs down like he's fucking up.
Yeah, like, April, you messed me up and stuff. And then he writes his whole name and Meredith just writes initials. And Meredith is like, that's not fair. Like, you duped me.
You hustled me.
Yeah, you didn't think I had, you made me think I didn't have to practice. And Derek was like, pretty much like, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, right. That you thought you didn't have to practice.
Right.
And I was kind of happy that Avery got it because I was like, this is going to be a shitty storyline if like Meredith's the wife and she gets it or whatever, you know? Or like if it was like they both did just as well and it's like, oh, Meredith's going to get it. So it was nice that like Avery like really outshined Meredith.
It was, but then he panicked.
Then he fucked up.
On a brain.
Yeah.
All I could think about.
What did you do?
Yeah, I know. My question for you is, would you want someone new touching your brain?
So interesting. We have, and this is not to the same level at all, but we have an intern in our office right now and it's called, she's peaking. And so she is not a licensed chiropractor yet, but she can adjust people. And she's been, and so, and she has to get the practice. And there are like, I think certain patients who will only let the doctor, my boss, touch them and adjust them. And then there are other other patients who are like, yeah, no, it's fine. And I tried to think about like how I would feel in that situation. And I think I would be fine with it as long as someone is supervising it.
Yeah.
Like, and I think Derek's argument is like great. He was like, we have to like create a new generation of surgeons. At some point we have to let them cut.
I also kept thinking too, like they have fresh brains. They just learned this. Like it's super fresh in their head and like maybe new technique. You know what I mean? Like they're hungry for it.
Yeah.
So I originally my thought was like, no. And then I wrote, maybe I would. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that though, like the partner or friend, I don't know who it was of the patient. I can't remember her name, but the patient was like, you're a teacher. Like you have to get this.
Right.
And I don't know. Also brain surgery is like terrifying.
Yeah. It's your brain.
Yeah. So
it was interesting. Like Derek, before he handed the drill to Jackson, but like before Jackson messed up, he's so threatening about it. Like, I feel like the energy he puts off as a teacher is not trustworthy.
Yes.
Because he screams at him when he messes up. And then later it's like, we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Like, I had to do that because I'm your teacher.
Right. Like, and like, that's like, you're not like, I've made mistakes before too. Like, it's fine. But I was like, why is your energy so like aggressive? He's like Owen energy when he's in the OR.
He really, really is. Yeah. I don't think it's very effective teaching.
Yeah.
I don't think Derek, and I think we've not talked about this before, and with different like co-hosts, is like, he is not a good teacher.
No.
He does not have that skill.
He doesn't stay calm in the moment.
No.
Like Teddy's calm. I feel like Burke was a good teacher.
Well, you know what's really great is Derek, when he proposed to Meredith, that's one of the things he says about her is like, you stay calm, you stay, like he points that out in her. And I think that's actually really lovely because he probably recognizes in himself that he doesn't do that.
Right. Oh, that's a good call out.
Just called back to that.
I loved when Mare gets, she's not in that surgery anymore.
Yeah. Wait, before we get to Meredith, I just want to say something. Is it like kosher. That's not the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That they don't tell them that there was a complication in the surgery.
I have to assume that because it ended up fine.
Fine that you don't say that something
right.
happened.
I think you only say a complication if it then has effects.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Okay. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I thought they always tell, like, yeah, there are, like, slight complications, but everything is, like...
I wonder if, though, if it wasn't necessarily a comp... Well, it was... I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it.
I don't either. Anyway, but Meredith.
So, yeah. So they get... So, Lexi's patient, who earlier in the show is on her phone being obnoxious, just, mm-hmm. like, not paying attention, doesn't want Lexi to be her doctor because Lexi's running around doing 1,000 things. Like,
Lexi... It's clicking her pen left and right.
She's a, click, click, click. Yeah, she's doing like 1,000 things, but she has that girl's chart memorized, and then later that girl's like, oh, you're good. Like, you got it.
Yeah.
And then that girl has like,
so I think it's funny that Lexi is like, I was born for this. Like, she's just like ready to do it.
Yes. I don't know that she's like coding this girl. She does like, she sort of codes.
Kind of. I mean, she like had us a brain bleed.
Yeah. Yes. Because of the blood thinners. But okay. Yeah. So Mare runs in because Derek is in the middle of fixing this other guy. Like cannot go. So Mare goes. And I love when she like surprises herself. By, yes. Like, she knows exactly what happens and turns to Lexi. And she even like that in the middle of all that, she says to Lexi, like, you did nothing wrong. Like you did everything right. And then she's like, wow, does that sound like, I sounded like an attending or whatever. And it was just so cute.
I know. It was so great. I was like, she's crushing being attending. When she gives her that long speech, like the only thing you're doing wrong is like not moving to the,
her face is doing what yours is.
Like, she's like side talking and like, and then
It's
Lexi
so good.
Is like, whoa, you really sounded like an attending there. She's like,
I did.
And then they get in there and Meredith is doing the procedure.
Oh, it's so good.
Because she's like, Derek, where are you? And he's like, I can't leave. You're going to have to start without me. And then he comes in. He's like, where are we? And she's like, I'm fine.
I've got this. And he looks
like,
so turned on.
He's like, yeah, turned on. I think he looks really proud.
Well, yeah, proud. But don't you also think he's like,
maybe
fuck yeah, that's my wife.
Yeah, like, he was like, yes, you do.
Don't you think seeing your significant other doing the thing that you are so passionate about and kicking ass at it would also like...
Yeah. But like, it was so good to see her fucking crush it.
Yeah, she's a good doctor.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And like, what does Lexi say? Like, how do you know how to do this? I don't remember what Meredith's response is.
Yeah. My note is Derek says mistakes happen all the time. He is a weird teacher.
He's a weird teacher. Derek, he looks so proud of Mare. And then, was there anyone else's solo?
No, I just have a note.
Oh, no.
I just have a note. I think Christina said it. Someone, a June bug in a kid's ear. Like she had to go do, or maybe it was Lexi when she was listing off all the things she had to do. And that was one of them. And I was like, fuck no.
No, do you think, did it make you think about June bug in your vagina?
Oh God, no, forgot. I think would you rather have a June bug in your vagina or your ear?
My ear.
I'm talking in your ear.
1,000%. I don't want a June bug in my fucking vagina. My ear, 1,000%.
It's like, it has to be extracted.
Yeah, imagine getting a June bug extracted from your vagina.
For some reason, this feels closer to my head, which feels closer to my fear.
Dude, I just like, imagine feeling little crawly legs down in a place that you didn't want, like in your vagina.
I feel like it would die faster up there. My feminine powers would crush it.
That's probably true. It's blocked. There's just this block. It wouldn't even allow it.
I would then birth a baby June bug.
All just flutter out.
Oh, God. We have so much more to talk about.
That's terrifying. Okay.
Let's hit up. Okay, so Chief has $1 million to divvy out, which does he? ? We'll learn why.
Yeah.
But also, why doesn't he split it up? Like, why does it have to go to one department?
I think because $1 million is not that much money in regards to, like, medical shit.
So I'd like to play the game of let's say what each person was doing, and then I'd like you to pick where you would have put it.
Okay. Dr. Altman. She wants to do stem cell research.
Yes. Yeah. And in the middle of her speech, she also talks about the importance of being a teacher and her grudge with Derek.
Yeah.
She like goes off on that.
Mm-hmm. I also said though, like I did not feel like her meeting went well with Chief at all. She really like went off the rails and was like spiraling.
Yep.
I want to preface all of this too. Callie is
so
playing this up and being dirty as hell.
I love it. She makes Teddy think that she should have a
table of contents.
Table of contents.
And
she barks at Bailey.
She throws tissues across the table at Arizona before she does her pitch. Yep. Like, she's like, oh, don't cry.
She plays with everyone's minds.
Yes.
Okay, Owen, I wrote in all caps, Owen talking about trauma. Trauma, trauma, trauma.
Yes.
Because he's very passionate. So Owen thinks that, like, Percy could have lived because if Bailey had been trauma trained, they would have found another exit route. I do believe that he is right. I think trauma training is like a great idea, whatever. I don't necessarily know how the fuck Bailey could have gotten him out of there.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. But and he wants to do, Bailey, he called it disaster response training.
Yes. And I'm glad that Bailey wasn't there when he said that.
Yeah, because I think she did everything. Well, but he did say she did everything in her power.
She was trained to do, yeah.
Yeah, like she couldn't have done anything differently. But yeah. Had she have been trained for a scenario like that, she might have.
Yeah. So I thought his presentation was good.
Yes. Mark wants to expand the burn unit and a cosmetic center, which the burn unit would like
pay for. Other way around. The cosmetic unit would pay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. The cosmetic center would pay for the burn unit.
Great.
What? Like Mark saying you have untapped energy or like he said he has untapped energy source of 10 men. Because he's not sleeping with anyone. I was like, why are you saying this to me?
Yeah,
Chief
he goes, he like leans in.
And
he
whispers.
Says that he's not seeing anyone. And he goes, I'm an untapped source of raw power.
Oh my God.
And he goes, wait, we can move mountains. And then he goes, are you excited? And then Chief goes, leave right now. And then he goes, I can't even say just leave.
Yeah.
It's so good. It was great. I loved that moment. I mean, I don't think Mark should win. I do think Mark has something smart about the cosmetic unit paying for all of that, because that shit costs.
That shit costs.
I mean, I paid for a breast reduction. That was not cheap.
Yeah.
I think it's just so funny. I just love... Are you excited?
Yeah. It's good.
Arizona, I couldn't even gather what she wanted
to do. Something with kids.
Yeah, because then she gets so upset by everyone telling her that she was going to cry.
Yeah. She doesn't do well.
No. And then Chief is just staring at her.
Yes. Callie is recommending xenografting. And Chief says she did not give him something inspirational.
Yeah. He also goes, she does an imitation of Chief and she goes, cow ligament in my leg. That sounds wacky. Yeah. And then Chief goes, is that what you think I sound like?
She's like, no. No.
And she like talks about lesbian culture and how she's not lesbian enough.
Yeah, she says about Arizona, she's a much better lesbian.
Yeah, it's just
really funny.
And then he's like, so you want to do this so I can one up your relationship. And she's like, oh fuck, I messed up.
Yeah, I really didn't present this in the best way. Do you want to do Derek?
Yeah. So Derek, and this is the episode after Meredith tells him she wanted to do Alzheimer's testing and that he... Oh, and then, so then he's talking to Chief, and he wants to find a cure for Alzheimer's. He says that he worries about her all the time. Every time she loses her keys or doesn't remember what day it is, he, like, has this... Which, it made me think about how Meredith described every time Derek goes out for a drive.
Yeah.
You think that Derek doesn't worry about anything, but, like, it was so emotional for me to know that every time she says something like that, he immediately thinks about Ellis and, like... Could that be Meredith? And he talks, which I believe in, that he says that, like, people don't know that they need a cause for this until it happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said, breakthroughs happen because someone is scared to death to stop trying, which I thought was a really great line.
Yep. And there's that scene at the end of the show, too, when, like, Meredith, they're going in the house. She's like, where's my keys? And he's like, they're in your hand.
Yeah, which I've done that before.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or sunglasses.
Yeah, they're on the top of your head.
So I need to write a question down that I want to ask. Okay, so if you're...
Wait, no. Then there's Bailey, and Bailey wants to fix...
Oh, yeah, my favorite.
Bailey wants to fix the CT machines. There's a couple other things down there.
Employ night nurses.
She says, like, let's not go to Paris. Let's go to the grocery store, Chief.
Yes.
She is being really realistic. She also says, she talks about, like, why are we even doing this when I know you don't have $1 million? And that's when he was like, well...
Things are going to be changing.
Things are... You don't know what I have planned. So, anyway.
Chief was like, I told you to be inspirational. Take me to Paris. And then, like, she says... I loved that line that you just said. Think in your head which one you would choose. And then we're going to share. So that way you have it nailed down so we won't be swayed by each other's opinions.
Okay.
On the count of three, let's say the name of
the
person.
Wait, but I have two.
Pick your top one. We can talk about both. You can't fund both. You have to pick one. You're chief. You gotta pick one. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Bailey.
What? You should run a hospital.
Dude, like.
It's my Enneagram one. It's like, fix the shit.
That needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
My second one was Derek. Yeah. And I was really like leaning like.
Derek's my emotional choice.
Yeah. And I do think that like Derek, like breakthroughs happen because people are scared to stop trying. But I also know that like Derek later on like gets funding for this. So I feel like. $1 million is not enough to fund a clinical trial for Derek, but he does make a point like the money will come in because like people's grandmas and husbands and wives and stuff. But like Bailey's so right. Like get another nurse. Like make this hospital run in a more efficient way.
I love
and
her.
Then that will bring in more money.
Yes. She's incredible.
Yeah. It's just it makes
sense.
I love
that we agreed on that. I would have been fine with any answer, but I love that. And then freaking Owen wins.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like the fear of what just happened in there, like, so deeply, like, affected them. But this isn't, like, so is this when Owen starts trauma training?
Mm-hmm.
But he already stabbed pigs, so, like, what?
Yeah, that was, this is a different thing.
Okay.
It should be coming up kind of soon. But I'm glad we agreed on that. I would be interested what the listeners of the podcast
My think. Emotional choice is Derek.
Mine too.
So yeah, listeners, here's our question for the Facebook group.
Yeah.
We would love to know if you are chief, who do you choose to fund and why?
Yeah, that's great.
I also think Mark's makes sense.
Oh, it makes a ton of sense.
But I don't really, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So another question I have for you before we get into The Office, I mean Grey's Anatomy, is... Do you think, and this is might be too deep of a question, but like, do you think Alzheimer's is gonna play into the end of this series? Like, do you think Mare is gonna get Alzheimer's? It's been something I always think about.
I think it will.
Like somehow it has to.
Somehow it has to. Well, because she has, I'm pretty sure we find out she has the gene.
Okay.
Like at some point we do find out she has it. I don't know. It's just been so much a part of this show.
Right.
That.
Yeah, from episode one, mom is in.
Yeah, that I don't know how they wouldn't somehow incorporate it.
Oh, that's going to be so rough.
Yeah. And maybe she doesn't get it. You know, like, maybe she has the gene. She doesn't get it. I don't know. Like, are they going to end it in real time or are they going to end it in future time?
Right.
Like, I just did a rewatch of Parks and Rec. And I forgot I never finished season 7. So I just finished season 7. And I finished the last episode last night. And where they, like, go into the future with everyone. Like, are they going to do something like that?
Yeah.
Like.
It's also weird because I feel like if Mare had Alzheimer's, I would feel better about it if Derek was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's not. So, mm-hmm. And I don't think they can, like, have a cure for it because that doesn't exist in real life. And Grey's exists in the real world. Like.
Right.
So.
In that timeline.
Right. And so, I don't know. I wonder how that will go. I'm just anxious for it to end.
I am too.
I want to know how my favorite show ends.
Yeah, I just feel like they're running out of shit to do. And the fact that they've signed on for 2 more seasons.
Right.
Like, please God, don't sign on for any more.
Yeah.
Or maybe 1 more.
Yeah. I think it's more that I'm just so excited to know how they're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready for that.
But what's crazy too, and we'll get into the next episode in a second, but like, I was thinking last night because I always watch like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And I started, but instead of watching like Gilmore Girls, I was watching the Netflix one like that recently came out. I like started on Winter last night and I got like really emotional because I remember how excited I was for the Netflix one to come out. And then I was like, oh my God, Gilmore Girls is my Harry Potter.
Right.
Like I really, like I had a huge, even more than I think Grey's Anatomy. But then I got really sad watching it because I was like, this isn't real.
Right.
Like these aren't real people. Stars Hollow isn't real. Like I want Rory and Lorelai to be like, I don't know. I felt really sad about it. And then I felt even more sad that, like, I don't have anything to look forward to with this.
Right.
And so I feel like I'm going to feel that way about Grey's Anatomy. Like, I wish Meredith and Christina, like, watching it now, it's like, oh, there's still more shit coming out. But it's, like, reflecting on it, you're like, they're not real. And there's nothing more coming with it. And,
right.
like, this is it, and I'm sad.
You are you could replace that with Harry Potter. Yeah. It's like a devastation.
Yeah.
Because you spend so many years with them. And, yes. And they talk about this with TV. TV is in such an intimate space of your life. You watch it in your home. You watch it with your loved ones. Yeah. You watch it when you're sad. You watch it when you're happy. Mm-hmm. Same for books. So it's like, it's been in more, that like, I know actors always talk about, it's sometimes weird when you meet fans because like, that you have no idea who they are, but they feel
like they know you.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre. So yeah. I get that.
So anyway, like I'm like ready for it to end, and I don't like storyline wise, I feel like it has to follow the Alzheimer's thing. I think it would make the most sense with writing, but then it's like, oh fuck, what am I gonna feel?
Yeah.
I don't want to feel sad.
I know.
Maybe it will just be a really happy ending. I don't.
I hope I
don't
cry.
Think it will be super tragic. I think it will.
No, it would be. No, it can't be too tragic.
No, but I think it will be.
You know, like the episode of Marilyn the Harper Avery and her mom was in the gallery.
Yeah.
Like I want that kind of cry.
Yes.
Or that episode, even though the CGI was so bad, when like Ghost Derek was.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I need to watch. I want to watch that season again.
I don't even remember what season that was.
It was this past one. Anyways.
Oh.
Okay, so let's get into the next one, episode 6. I had really torn thoughts about it because, first of all, I didn't remember this.
Yeah, my first note was, oh God, it's this episode.
I said, where's the monologue? What's happening? A documentary? And then I texted Brie. I was like, I feel like this is The Office and I keep waiting for a character to break the fourth wall and like look at the camera and like do a gym smile. Yeah. Like they so easily, I would love if someone is really good at editing to edit this and make it a comedy because it would be so easy to do so.
Yes. Yes. One of my notes, I had like 3 notes that I was like, I don't even know how to take notes on this episode. Like I really didn't even know how to go about doing it because it's so different from what we know of Grey's Anatomy.
So you did research last week. I did some research this week. I looked up, could you top me off as well?
Absolutely.
I looked up, spoke into the mic. If Shonda had any like quotes about this, it was hard to find because it's like 10 years ago. But I have 2 quotes from her from an article. And she says, you actually feel like you're getting a behind the scenes look at our characters' lives, suggests series creator Shonda Rhimes. You see our characters in a very different way because we're approaching them in a very different way, which is true. I felt like we saw different sides of each character.
Sure, yeah.
And then the other quote was, through the use of confessionals, we discover how truly unhinged Christina has become. She has a long journey before her, but when she gets a little bit better, she comes roaring back. But so, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes me feel a little bit better about the episode.
So let's just go through it. I feel like we should just kind of go maybe in order-ish or like...
I'm just going to read my notes.
Yeah. So the graphics when it's like Seattle, Grace, whatever.
Yeah.
So funny. So the hospital has metal detectors.
Yeah. I wrote, do we ever see this security thing ever again? And then at the end, I wrote, security system is going down. That is why we never see it again.
Yeah. Which like, Lexi, you fucked up a lot. You might have murdered someone.
Yeah.
By running through.
Yes.
So, okay, I'm just, again, going down. So Alex has that one patient who's a teenager, and I loved that my subtitles was saying that it was Demi Lovato and the Jonas Brothers was the song she was listening to.
Yeah.
But he's like, we don't all have Bieber fever. And I was like, dude
you don't even know.
You don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
Should we just talk about maybe Alex, I guess, or do you want to go through it?
Yeah, that's great.
So I actually thought that the way they like portray the patients and how the doctors interact was a lot more emotional than other ones sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like we see that scene, it's just so Jim like from The Office. Like he says to the interviewer that he's not impeded because he likes kids. It's cause it's very elite.
Yeah.
That's what he just keeps saying. And then it shows that scene where her iPod, she can't bring in with her. So he sings into the microphone, which is just so good. Like,
well, and also too, like even before that, when she gets traked and she's super upset and he was like, he puts the headphones in for her and he's like, I'm serious, like hit this call button until someone comes in here. Like, don't be afraid to use it. Like if you need anything. And then, and then when he was like, can you give us some space? Like she needs some space. She's really upset. And then he sings. He puts the headphones in.
So he can hear it.
And then he sings.
And they zoom in on the guy reading the MRI or whatever. Yeah. Like looking at him like, what the fuck? It was so good. It was like, again, they could have played hilarious music over it.
Yes.
And it would have been funny.
And so she has this crazy growth on her...
trachea.
On her trachea. And then they do crazy shit.
They grow one.
They put it in her abdomen, and then she gets better. And
I go ahead.
No, you go.
I love to when he's telling her about the trachea and like to take care of it. And is this what you were gonna say too?
Yeah, go ahead.
But he's like, don't give your number to boys you don't know. Like, no drinking, smoking, like whatever.
She's like, you do know I'm like 12 or however old she is.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was like sweet how they do like the write over thing, like the text at the end.
Yes.
And then it was like, when we asked her, like, what was her best experience or whatever, and she said, like, Dr. Karev, and he, like, came to her, like, fourth grade class or whatever. And
yeah.
And he slept on a cot next to her.
Yeah, if I'm a kid, I want him to be my doctor.
Yeah. I also, just side note, I thought her mother, for the small moment she was in it, was an incredible actress.
Yes,
like, her hand shaking.
Yes. She was holding her own hand, kind of.
I felt like that was a mother of a sick child.
Yeah, and how do we learn that, like, the hospital's 3 hours away, so she leaves her there during the week and has to work. And, like, how she's like, but that's better, and her being alive is better than that. Like,
yeah,
she was so good.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I felt a lot of feelings for the patients in this episode more than normal, and part of it was those, like, write-overs. Mm-hmm. Like, but then that in Christina's confessional, which we'll talk about, there's that, they, like, flashback, and Karev is in the classroom.
Yes.
And it's like, welcome, Dr. Karev.
I know.
And the fact that he did that.
I know, and he's in his little suit.
It was really cute.
And then he didn't leave the hospital because he had to stay by the trachea thing.
He grew it.
Yeah.
And he sent her pictures, like, mm-hmm. cell phone photos.
Yeah. That was a really, and it was a super sweet episode that he's like you said, he's just, it's almost like he wants to play. Well, like, because in the beginning, too, he's like, I got this scar. I was like, cool scar, Crab.
It's so small.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, whatever. And like, I'm super elite. And then you just watch it unfold that he's actually a really sensitive.
Right.
Like, attentive doctor.
Right.
To a child.
Yep. And it was also cool for that patient, and I think for others, they did a part, like, when it was talking about Lily, the patient, they had all these, like, baby photos of her.
Yeah.
And I also felt, I was like, oh my God, what if they did that for all the patients? I would feel, like, more of a...
That, at that part, I think I wrote a note. I was like, this episode really does feel like reality television.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
They did a good job of making it feel that way.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Arms Guy? The guy growing arms, or just like,
or we could, because like Peds, we could talk about Arizona.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. So she wins the Carter Madison grant.
Yes. And she is moving to Africa,
which she applied for when she was single.
2 years ago.
Yep. And, wasn't even planning on winning. And so it like supports Peds surgery in other countries, in developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few moments where like we see Callie and Arizona fighting.
Mm-hmm.
About what's going to happen. Callie has that moment where she's like, if it were me, I'd go. And then she's like, actually, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I would. And then...
I would turn it down.
I would turn it down. Yeah, that's what she says. And then Callie is going with her.
Yeah, and she's like carrying all... They have all these bags of things. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, which, spoiler alert, she ends up backing out, right? But not Arizona.
No, Arizona tells her not to come.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to hear that.
No. No, you don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, spoiler alert, Callie does not go. That's how she ends up getting pregnant. But
oh, I was wondering how that would all happen.
Yeah.
Okay, makes more sense. Thank you for telling me. She also puts arms on a man.
Yeah.
Which is very, if you are a lover of young adult fiction, the Unwind series, recommended by Bree's sister to me, is about like a futuristic world where like they have figured out the science.
Oh yeah, she told me about this.
Yeah, to do like any sort of transplant, you can get any type of body part from someone else. And so like attaching arms, there's the literal character that gets an arm from someone with a tattoo. It's like, so I'm like, did this writer see Grey's Anatomy? Like,
yeah, and then, yeah. Yeah,
but I loved the reaction of the couple when they tell them about the tattoo.
Yeah. Well, and I wrote too, I was like, it's just a tattoo. Like, I was really confused when they were like, no, 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 no.
Right.
But then I was like, oh, wait a second, this makes sense. When Callie was saying, like, you can reject the transplant by not feeling emotionally connected to it. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes...
Yeah,
like,
can you imagine?
She was like, seeing the name of the wife of the arms could be very emotionally triggering for someone.
I mean, can you imagine looking at arms and hands...
That are not yours.
Yeah, that is... Like, I know not having arms would also be terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, that is a big hoop. Like, to look down and see different hands.
Yeah.
It freaks me out to think about.
Yeah, and, like, how she was talking about, like, this one person, like, had their hand amputated again because it was, like, it just felt dead to them. It wasn't, like, connected.
Yeah. I did like the way the documentary sort of made it go. The one when the wife's talking about like wiping his ass and stuff. Like it made it humorous.
Yeah.
Like she's like, I even have to wipe his ass. And they're like together. I don't know.
She is the patient from Private Practice who cuts the baby out of Violet, right?
Okay, thank you. Yes, I knew I recognized her from somewhere. And I was creeped out by her.
Yeah, she... And so, which is weird because like...
It's coming up in that... It's got to be like...
Yeah, and it's just, like, those universes exist in the same timeline. Like, April's in it, too, you know? Like,
right, yeah, someone posted that.
Is in Private Practice. And it's like, I don't know, stop recycling these actors in the same fucking time. Like, the same world.
But if it just is her, like, you know?
Could be.
But yeah, you're right. I knew I was creeped out by her. Thank you for solving the mystery. I also thought it was cool, this like, documentary made what they do seem super hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, grow arms, or attach arms, grow tracheas. Arms. Yeah, like, it just seemed a little bit more intense than it normally does.
Well, yeah, when they're like, you chose a good day to start. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Derek's, like, being titans or whatever they were calling themselves.
I also have these two notes. I say, I don't understand how bones become connected to other bones. Screws, probably? Right? And then I had a lot of laughing. And I said, titanium plates and screws. They, like, literally answered my question. But I was like, I just remember watching them amputate the arm and, like, seeing the bone. And I was like, wait, but how does that bone merge with another bone? And I was like, maybe they grow together. Like,
no
I
one
don't know.
Knows. At least
no,
I
it's
don't
screws.
Know. Oh.
They answer. It's titanium plates and screws.
Wild.
Is how they,
it's like a tool.
Yeah. Nuts. I guess it's the same thing, like if you get like a hip replacement or something.
Right, right. Yeah. Also, this episode kind of gave me a headache.
Yeah.
Like the camera's
a lot of running around
so
and
much.
Like Jackson like punching things.
Yeah, okay, Jackson, how nervous he gets in front of the camera. So funny.
Well, but then also he gets stuck in that room and he's freaking out.
Oh, yeah, that was sad. Yeah. Not his fault. But it was just funny at first in the beginning. He's like, hey, guys. Again.
Yeah.
Like, he's the most attractive one of them all. And yet he's like so nervous.
Yeah. And, but then he's like, you got to get me out of here. I have to get out of here. And
freaking Lexi.
Then he gets out of there and he like punches things. And,
yeah. Why? Oh, and then he's like, I had friends that died. Like he's still going through it.
Yeah.
Why is Lexi's ID not working?
I don't know. That's annoying too.
Also, when they zoom in on Chief, when he's like, there are still a little kinks to be working out. And it's like zooming in on the alarm going off.
I also love when she's like, Chief, will you just tell them I'm me? Like, I think she said, tell them I'm me.
Chief was super gumpy in this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, just and at the end too, when he's like, yeah, so our security system, it's being removed. Like he's just unaware.
Also, one of my notes is Chief is so inspired because he was just like, just talking about how inspiring it was with these arms and we're inspiring people and we're inspired. And it was like, he's very inspired.
I did get a little GGBE. So the arms came from a man who was in a motorcycle accident and his wife is talking about like just, you know.
How he proposed.
Yeah. And like he wouldn't do the dishes, but she would see his name and like, you don't do that. You don't get a tattoo, but he did. And and then they tattooed thank you. So it said thank you, Nicole, on the arm.
Yeah.
Which was like, ooh, I got a little, that would be like to look down and think of that wife, but in a way that's like, thank you. Yeah. I loved that. I was sad for her. She was just good at crying.
I know.
Okay. Mandy Moore. Although what's her name? Mary.
Mandy Moore.
Bailey. It's like Bailey does not need one more sad thing to happen to
her. She gets a hit on this one. This is...
The way they hug when they get greeted at the hospital.
She's like, I don't make it a
habit to hug
my patients or whatever, but we've been through some shit pretty much. And then, like, she comes out and her husband's so nervous and Bailey's like, it went perfectly. Like,
and they have this the most emotional hug.
Yeah, and Bailey was like, I might take the night off, like, have myself a drink and just like, yeah.
I've never been more ready for a surgery to be done or for like a patient's thing to be done, she talks about.
And then he brings in these flowers and I like, because I knew what happened, but like, you know, like, I got you new flowers. Don't ask me what they are. And then you see that she's in a coma and she just never woke up from surgery.
Yeah. Which is bonkers that that can happen.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Bailey's talking about it so like academically.
Mm-hmm.
She just is like straight face. Like, this is what happens. And then those, like, she has no sign of brain activity. Then it says that she has to go tell the husband. She shuts the door and the like documentary team is stuck on the outside.
Yeah.
Again, it reminded me of an office scene, like filming through the blinds. But that guy breaks down, which is so sad. And then in text over it says, like, whatever his name is, decided to stop life.
Like pull the plug.
Yeah.
Like, end life support.
Yes. And then it said
In 2 days.
Yeah. Yes. And then it was like, Dr. Bailey would not be reached for further comment.
And it's like a scene of her like looking down and like not talking. Which, and then you see her crying later
in the hallway.
Yeah.
Which I actually thought, I was like sort of emotionally relieved that I did not have to watch the plug get pulled.
Yeah.
I didn't have to hear Bailey tell him.
Yes.
Like, I felt just as emotionally attached, but I was really thankful I didn't have to witness it because that was really hard. Well, and then Chief is like, imagine living through a mass shooting and dying.
And then this is how you die.
In a simple surgery. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sad. They go to Joe's. Everyone does.
Oh, yep. That, yep. All the titans.
That made it into the, into the reality thing. And then, so then we have Meredith and Christina. I feel like we should talk about them.
Yeah, who are filmed like a couple. They're like holding
hands. Really cute. This is where like the meme thing shows up of Derek being like, yeah, sometimes my wife has sleepovers with her friend in my bed, in our bed, and I'm there.
Yeah.
And they're like chatting together and interviewing, and then like they're doing trauma, and then like Meredith, like,
oh yeah.
Like at one point, like Meredith is like, switch with me. You do compressions. Like I'll cut. And then Meredith takes the patient up and Meredith is like, no, I mean like everyone is like just doing what they can. And like I had the time. And so I took this, like Christina will get the next trauma. And then
she's like, yeah, I'll be waiting for the next one. And they film her.
Yeah. And she walks away and she goes and lays down.
Yeah. Which like, it's interesting. I wonder if there's follow-up from this. Like, they were just filmed and put on television. Like, how does that not affect them later?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
But anyways. Also,
oh, I think we forgot to also say that I'm pretty sure this is how Chief has that $1 million.
Oh, yeah. I think it's gotta be.
Like, weird episode.
Yeah, that, it's gotta be.
Or series that they decided to do.
Right. Also, there's a scene with Christina and Mare holding hands, and Christina or Meredith is like telling her that she's a hero. And like, no, not everyone could have done that. Like, only Christina can.
Christina gets mad.
Yeah, which I would too. I don't like that. But she's just like, no, please stop. And then Mare is like, can we cut? And it like cuts scene.
And then they interview Christina alone. And I just like, my last note, and it's like such a sad note. And it's how the episode ends. And she just pans to the camera and she looks at it. And they like ask her if there's any like last thing she wants to say or whatever. She said, being a hero has its price.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck, dude. Christina, like, and that's when I feel like you really know, like, Christina's fucking not.
Yeah.
Okay.
It surprised me how much she spoke to the camera.
Yeah.
I felt like Christina would be like, nah, thanks.
Yeah, that is really true. She was like really...
Maybe contractually obliged.
I was going to say, yeah.
But yeah, she goes in for like a confessional sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only other note I had about it is that we get a little insight into... that I forget about the fact that Derek is Mark's best friend.
Yeah.
And Mark talks about how when he found out Derek had been shot, he now understands how his patients feel when he has to tell them bad news. And yeah, you just kind of forget that he like went through that too, because he's still so jokey and like, and even right before that, he makes a joke about his looks, like literally in seconds before. And again, I just think it reiterated that Derek tells the camera that he feels lucky ever since he's been like, that he's alive.
Yeah.
Like, his takeaway from that is just pure, like, wow, I made it out alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the only notes I had.
Those were mine, too. I feel really good about that. Do you want to do notes and trivia?
Sure. You can read the first one.
Almost Grown. Hold on. Whoa. There we go. This episode's title originated from the song Almost Grown, originally sung by Chuck Berry. This episode scored 10.97 million viewers. All fourth-year surgical residents wore navy, attending scrubs for this episode. It marks the first time they were seen wearing these scrubs, except for April, who wore them in Sanctuary and Death and All His Friends. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Goof. Derek Shepherd can be seen wearing his chief of surgery lab coat in several scenes, despite no longer holding the position.
He just really likes it.
Yeah.
This episode's title originated from the song These Arms of Mine, originally sung by Otis Redding. The episode scored 10.7 million viewers. Mary Portman comes back to the hospital. Dr. Bailey finally performs the surgery she should have performed, but that was postponed due to the shooting. Goof. Oh, it's the Derek Shepherd wearing the lab coat again.
Yep.
The song playing when Alex is walking past Lily's room at the... Oh, I called this. Beginning of the episode is Wouldn't Change a Thing by Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas. Demi Lovato guest stars in a previous episode, Shiny Happy People, as a misdiagnosed teenage patient. The episode spans a month from somewhere around September 13th to mid-October 2010. The documentary also gives supplemental for information about events from the week following the last images shown.
Interesting. Harper Avery.
Ooh. I kind of want to, I mean, like, I can't think of an overall. I kind of want to give it to Karev.
I would be very comfortable with that.
I just love how he treated his patient. He went the extra mile.
Yeah. He stayed in the hospital for like a month.
Yeah.
Growing a trachea.
Yeah. I also feel like
maybe. And he sang.
He sang into a microphone. Mm-hmm. I also think maybe a little bit, I appreciate, and it'll foreshadow, like, but I don't think it needs this, but like Derek's wanting to do Alzheimer's surgery or research.
Research. Yeah, I agree with that too. But definitely, and Karev too, he stood up for that patient to get the, like.
Yes.
The brag. Breast augment. I don't know what you would call it.
Augmentation. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm going to rate it. I'm going to say mine first because I don't have it written down. I'm going to rate it
7.5. 7.5. All right.
I went into that documentary episode being like, ugh. And then I actually really liked it.
Great. I rated it a 6.75.
That's great. Wow.
I just like was kind of not, I don't know. I don't think I was in the mood for this episode. And I didn't really, I'm happy we did it this way, but I didn't really quite understand how the fuck we were going to talk about it.
Yes.
This. But it was fine. What I did text Abby today, I was like, season 7 was really trying new things because they did this episode and then they did the musical episode. So I feel like they've never done anything like that since.
No, they haven't. No, that was, except maybe the one where they like, Now and Then, where they do the future or whatever. That one's weird too.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Great.
We'd love, okay, so listeners, don't forget, in the Facebook group, tell us who you would have funded if you were chief.
Yes, between those options.
Yes, you can't pick someone new.
Yes.
Do you want to call, I'll call Time of Death. You did it last week. Time of Death.
Weird.
Oh no, wait, what's the math? Time, 22. Time of Death, 2230.
Which is weird because last week I felt like it was 2230. But it wasn't. Time isn't.
Wait, you said 2030.
Oh. It's like time is standing still. Beep!
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.